Today on episode number 371 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, which you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/371, we kind of go around the globe and we find out that, yeah, you know what, it's true. You probably should eventually try to get a portable recorder to record in, and Mark Maron's going to tell us why. You're going to feel his pain. We're going to revisit the whole topic of music in podcasting as one of my listeners calls shenanigans. Hey, shenanigans, Dave. And I'm going to review, man, these things are built like a tank, a seismic audio mixer. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005. I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thanking you so much for tuning in. If you are new to the show, first of all, hello. How are you? This is where we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to recording to producing, exporting, everything you need, monetizing. It's all here. If you want to start a podcast, everything you need to start a podcast, you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com. You can email me, Dave, at schoolofpodcasting.com. You can call in your comments. It's 888-563-3228, courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com. You can comment out at the blog. And today you can find everything we talk about at schoolofpodcasting.com/371. And you can also use the voicemail button that's out there at the website. We always like to start off the show with a bit of kind of what's in the news, podcasting success, things of that nature. And it's kind of backhanded success. In the past month, both USA Today and now Time Magazine have put out articles that said, hey, remember how podcasting kind of was eh? Well, guess what? It's back. And so this one is, despite being oh so 2005, thank you for the backhanded compliment, podcasting is drawing listeners and advertisers alike. And they mention in the article that according to Edison Research, the percentage of Americans 12 and older who have listened to a podcast has steadily increased. Key word there. Never went away. Never took a dip, steadily increased from 10% in 2006 to 26% today, while one in six Americans has listened to a podcast within the past 6 months. And it mentions things like the New York Times has largely abandoned the medium as a financially inefficient. Now, what this means is they were trying to make money selling the actual audio file. What they should have been doing is putting out a snippet today in the New York Times, you know, here are some stories, and then give that full story and say there's more information such as blah, 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 and blah, 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 and blah, 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 blah. And if you want that, buy the paper, but keep your name, use it as a marketing edge. In fact, the article here mentions that ESPN and NPR basically leverage podcasting as a marketing tool than a revenue generator. It's not, you use it to keep the name out. You use it to build the relationship with your audience. And then you can harness that to go in and, you know, sell your service to those people because they trust you now. They know you have good content and they know what to expect from you. And consequently, they're going to feel much more comfortable ordering from you. So today's kind of bonus, kind of, hey, here's what's going on in podcasting in the world. That's right. We are mentioned in the New York Times, in Time Magazine, in the business and money section. So here again, the rise of podcasting is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And the time to jump in is now. From podcast success to podcast, well, we've all been here, done that. When I first started podcasting back in 2005, I recorded for 3 years directly into my computer. And during that time, I lost two episodes. I always refer to that as having to do the call of shame. And that is where I remember one was Paul Culligan. I'd interviewed Paul and we had this great talk and it was full of spontaneity and we had all these great things and it just evolved. It was awesome. And when I got done, I clicked on stop on the software that I was using to record. And yeah, it was just garbled mess. And I tried different thing. I wrote to the support staff of the software. Yeah, too bad. And I think I was using Audacity the last time I lost an episode. And I went, that's enough. I've had enough. And I bought a portable recorder. Now, I use the Roland R-05. I like it. It's got a nice, tough metal casing. It's got nice built-in microphones. And for me, I like it because it's got a nice big display. And if you want to check out, there are other recorders. There's the Zune H2 and the H4N and things like that. If you go over to schoolofpodcasting.com/recorders, there's even, if you just want to get one that just does recording off your computer, the Zune H1 is $99. And so that can eliminate this problem. What is this problem? This is a clip from Marc Maron. Now, if you're not familiar with Marc Maron, this is a comedian who literally, his manager called him and said, you got to start doing something else because I can't get you any work doing stand-up comedy. He had done a stint on radio and that had fallen through. And he thought, well, he had been fired from his radio station, but they had not taken away his security key yet. So he would actually go in. He called up his friends and said, I'm going to start a podcast. And he interviewed his friends in the studio after hours at the radio station. That turned into the podcast WTF. Now, what I'm really surprised about is over the years, I've been telling people, again, you should probably try to get a portable recorder. And apparently, Mark does not listen to this show because, well, listen to this story.
Today's episode of WTF is sponsored by Audible.
Well, you know, maybe not that one.
I am thrilled to have her here, but I want to give you a heads up. Something went wrong. I'll give you the story behind it because it caused me a lot of panic, anxiety, and anger. Here's what happened. Somehow or another, this has only happened twice in the entire 400 and whatever show run of WTF. I did the entire interview with Catherine O'Hara, the genius comedy actress, out here in my garage. We talked for an hour, however long we talked, hour plus. Sounded good in my headphones. We had a great conversation. I played it back, and there was something wrong. There was some sort of weird, staticky clicking that started slowly at the beginning of the interview and then progressed and got worse throughout the interview. This happened one other time during Lucinda Williams singing her songs. Have no idea what it was. No idea, but it rendered it really annoying and almost unlistenable. Like, it was just this thing, this sound quality, this static. Had no idea what it was. And when I got done with the interview, I was livid. And who do you get mad at? I don't know. Electricity? Do I know what happened? I do not know what happened. I still don't know what happened. That's the weird thing about dealing with computers. But I don't know what series or sequence or electrons or currents. I don't know what series of events led for, you know, to GarageBand, you know, having a brain fart for an entire episode. And just like every once in a while, everyone has this experience.
Yes, they do. And this was a tricky clip to grab because he likes the F word a lot, hence the phrase WTF. But just, again, thought I would play that for you in the event you had not heard somebody who has gone through that episode, because you ask any podcaster who's doing live to hard drive and they've done more than, say, 400 episodes, I'm going to bet the farm that they've probably got an episode that they lost. And usually the story starts out like this. We had this awesome guest, or we had this awesome discussion going on. This was the best podcast ever. And then, yeah, that's how it ends. So it's one of those things, do you need a portable recorder to start a podcast? No. You can do live to hard drive. Just go in with your eyes open, knowing that probably eventually you're going to lose an episode. And it might be something you can get down the road. But just know that going in with your eyes open. One of the things I love to do on this podcast, and it makes me proud, is to spotlight people that have come to the School of Podcasting and come out the other end with a podcast. Today, we are going to spotlight. It's called Pokedex Radio. And what it is, it's about the Pokemon video game series that discusses the mechanics of the games, latest Pokemon-related news, and occasionally other video games. And so we talk about how things are super niche. But check this out, man. I heard this. Like, oh, this is cool.
This is the Pokedex Radio podcast, where you can learn to be the very best like no one ever was.
Yeah.
Now, every Pokemon trainer knows that the best place to learn everything about Pokemon is to check their Pokedex. Now, this is where we talk about all things Pokemon, from the video game to the anime to new concepts. Learn how to be a Pokemon master at PokedexRadio.com.
There you go. Look at that. So proud. 39 seconds. You know exactly what you're going to get in this podcast. Very, very cool. Got some cool rockin' tunes.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Pokedex Radio Podcast. Thank you very much for downloading and listening in today. My name is Austin. I am the host of this show.
What's up, Austin?
And if you'd like to read the show notes for this episode, and they are lengthy, please read them. it took a long time for me to actually type these out, so please go ahead and check them out. PokedexRadio.com/51.
There you go.
Please go and check them out.
Holy cow.
And the reason for that, today's main topic is Pokemon catch rates. Now, don't leave yet. Pokemon catch rate.
Oh, we are going to leave. Now, here's the cool thing of that. And also, I just want to point this out. If I turn this all the way up, you'll hear this weird high-pitched. Hear that? That is just coming out of my Dell computer. That is not on the Pokedex radio audio. Their audio actually sounds really, really good and great stuff. But here again, this is a kind of podcast that for me, I'm like, Poke who? Right? But the people that love that are going to go, oh my gosh. And man, does this guy have serious show notes. Holy cow. Nice looking website as well. Nothing too crazy. It's over at, again, PokedexRadio.com. If you're into Pokemon, go check her out. All right, right now I've switched gears a little bit. I'm actually plugged into a Seismic Audio. In this case, I'm using the Slider 7. Now, the difference between the Slider 4 and the Slider 7 is the Slider 4 has two, what I'm going to call regular microphone inputs. They're actually called XLR. And the Slider 7 has five, and where the Slider 4 has two places for quarter-inch inputs, great things to like plug a phone in or an additional laptop, something like that. This has seven. And the really cool thing about this particular, actually both of these, is they have anything that has the, again, kind of normal, the XLR microphone input, has the ability to put in what's called an insert jack. And this means you can plug in outboard gear like a compressor or a noise gate or things like this. Right now I have nothing at all. This is just me plugging the microphone into the mixer into my portable recorder. Now, I want to mention something that I was a little originally concerned about, and I just had to change my mindset a little bit. And that is, right now, I am getting a great signal going into the board. I'm occasionally hitting the little yellow lights, but everything seems great. And but this is the first mixer I've ever had to use where I have to turn the gain up pretty much all the way. Right now, my main output is pretty much all the way up, and I've got my gain on the channel. Now, I realize this is an audio podcast. Let's look at it this way. If you look at tying a hose to your house, right, you've got the spigot that you turn, and that adjusts how much overall pressure is going to the nozzle. When you squeeze the nozzle, the water comes out. So obviously, you could have the nozzle full force, but if you've got very little water pressure, not much comes out. Likewise, if you turn the spigot all the way up, you know, now you've got a lot of pressure in the hose. When you barely press the nozzle, man, a ton of stuff comes out. Well, the gain button is kind of like your spigot. It's basically turning up, almost like putting your hand over your ear to say, I want to hear this a little more. So what I've found on this unit is, and it's actually on both units, their final, quarter of an inch of the gain actually has a little bit of boost to it. So here I'm going to go, I'm just going to sing the note, and then turn the gain, and you can hear this. You ready? Okay, so what that means is I can get a decent signal here, but now I've got my slider, which is kind of the nozzle in this case, all the way up. My main volume is almost all the way up. And again, I'm getting a good signal. I'm getting green lights blinking, but I have everything just maxed out almost. And that was a little weird, where if I turn this back down and turn my gain up, then I've got tons of headroom. So it was just a little bit of a mind shift when I first was using this. Now, this is not uncommon. There are certain things that just have different ways of having the output. The Shure SM7 is a studio microphone that I know a lot of people in radio use, and it is notorious for having to have the gain boosted. Now, the thing, as I say that, what I want to mention here, I'm going to turn this thing up, everything I can up. So, for instance, you have a three-channel EQ. I've got a bass here. I can turn this up and make me all bassy. I've got a extremely responsive mid-range, so I could really, you know, these are all very sensitive, and here is the high end of that. So now my S's and my T's are very bright. So that's one of the nice things about a mixer. I'll give myself a little bass and a little treble here, maybe even cut out the mid. Yeah, I could cut out the mid, and that sounds really weird. So you can kind of, again, dial in your voice. The thing I like about this, again, number one, metal. Even my little Yamaha MG-102, the top panel, I guess that's metal. Yeah, seems to be. But this is like cast iron metal. This is like, it's a mixer and a weapon kind of thing. Very rugged construction. And you've got, again, every channel has three-channel gain. You have an auxiliary send, so if you want to do the old mix minus to somebody, you got that going in here. There is a feature I'm never, ever going to use. Let me turn this on, and that is you have an echo. So if I come here and turn this on. There we go. Hey, hello. Are you here? Now I'm here. Okay. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. Turn that off. It has that feature, so if you want to do that in the cave podcast that you've been dying to do, you are set to go. It does have phantom power, so if you have a condenser microphone, you need to do that. I do need to clear up something about the USB feature of this particular unit, and that is the fact that it's not USB. It has a button. It has, because I wondered, because it has, you know how usually USB you have kind of a big end, and then whatever you're doing, you have a small end on the other end. And to make a long story short, this one has a big end that you plug in. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm going to need a big end to big end cable. And that is not what this is designed for. This is not a USB, quote, mixer. What that allows you to do is control an MP3 player, like I'm assuming like an iPod or something like that. You could basically use it as a USB charger. And that would be a way to control your USB, your MP3 player with that. And there's a notch on that. It is kind of misleading because the title of it is, you know, Slider 7 Mixer / USB Interface. And the USB interface is not used from what I can see. And there's almost nothing about this in their manual about plugging it into an actual computer. And in reality, you would need I just was at Radio Shack. I was going to do this. I was going to try to connect this to a computer and then have it act like a USB connection. And I think that is a miscommunication on their part. There's not a lot of information on that. And it wasn't until I went out to their website, because it lists these as, you know, slider 4, slider 7, whatever it is. In this case, slider 7, 7-channel mixer console with USB interface. Well, what that USB interface says is USB interface for MP3 compatibility can play a USB MP3 player. So there you go. So now let me run this down. So I am getting a great signal. It's really rugged construction. All the knobs seem to work. You have an insert jack. So what that means is I'm going to unplug my cable here, and I can actually, I have a noise gate compressor, and I'm going to now plug that in here with the insert jack. And you'll, wow, that's really loud. You'll notice now that the background noise, if you have your headphones on, has gone away because my noise gate and my compressor are kicking in. And I could have, every channel could have its own compressor and that whole nine yards. So it's very, very cool. Let me unplug that. And now we're back to a little background noise. That just proves you don't really need a mixer or, you don't need a an outboard, you know, you don't need a compressor. You don't need a noise gate. You can do one without it. And really, the sound of my refrigerator in the background, most of you can't hear. So rugged construction, insert jacks, 3-channel EQ, sliders, if you like sliders versus knobs. Hello, sliders. And you also have the ability to plug, again, a standard XLR microphone in or a quarter inch. Tape in, tapes out, headphone jacks, main out, auxiliary send, effects send, everything you need, phantom power, and a rugged construction, and my favorite, an on-off switch. Hello, Behringer. So as I go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/Amazon, I can see the Seismic Audio Slider 4, 4-channel mixer, basically going right now for $64, where the Behringer Zenix 802 is going for $64, the same price. And just for the on-off switch, I would recommend this mixer, let alone the lower noise floor and the ability to have an insert jack and sliders. I definitely can say this is definitely not a hunk of junk. I like them. I will never use the echo feature, but it's there if you, like I said, if you want to do that cave podcast. So thank you to anyone who has been telling me about these mixers, and thank you to Seismic Audio for sending me one to play with. And you get a thumbs up for... you know, as long as you know, and again, this isn't something wrong, it's just something different, is you want to turn the gain all the way up on the channel volume and then use your slider to do your subtle adjustments. Hey, if you're looking to start a podcast, we are under 2 weeks till the next Start a Podcasting in 6 Weeks class. It's super easy. You show up every Saturday and me and you go over how to start a podcast. Week one is planning your podcast. This is crucial. Figuring out why you want a podcast, if you're going to have a co-host, all the tools you're going to need, your budget, things like that. Then week two, we get into podcasting equipment. So things like the Seismic Audio that we talked about today and different microphones, you don't have to spend thousands of dollars. And I will show you how you can have a great sounding podcast without basically breaking the bank. Week three, we get into recording your podcast. We talk about GarageBand and Audacity and Audition and all the tools you can use and how to actually gather the information to record your podcast. Week four, we get into WordPress and how to set up your WordPress site and what the heck is an RSS feed and all that whole nine yards. We kind of continue that RSS discussion in week five when I explain to you how does your podcast get into iTunes and other directories and what you need to do to make sure that when you submit it, it is accepted. And we have tips on getting you into new and noteworthy as well. And then week six, we're going to talk about podcast promotion as well as monetization. Now, it's kind of weird to talk about that in week six because we're talking about making money with your podcast. And at this point, you don't have an audience, but we talk about steps you can take moving forward to where you will have the system in place to monetize your podcast. Now, if you're interested in this, again, hurry up. There's only a few seats left. Go over to howtopodcast.com. And here's a case again where I listen to my audience I actually now have a payment plan where you can pay right now, again, as I do this in September of 2013. The price right now is only $149. That's not a week. That's for the whole course. 6 weeks, one price, $149. Now, if you need a payment plan, I've set this up. $33 a week for 6 weeks. Now, that means the course is a little more expensive if you go the payment plan. But I realize sometimes you don't have that money in one big chunk to send out. So if you're interested in that, check it out. I'm really excited. We've already got some people signed up. Go over to howtopodcast.com and sign up today. All right, going to bring up a question I've answered on this show before, but it's worth talking about. And it's from RD Coast, who does the Philosophy Walk podcast. Speaking of that, let's give a little listen to that.
This is Philosophy Walk, episode 29.
Welcome to Philosophy Walk, the podcast dedicated to bringing you the world of philosophy one short walk at a time, with your host, R.D. Coast.
There you go. You can find that over at philosophywalk.com. And after listening to last week's show, he chimed in and said, hey, I listened to today's show on attitude. Got a lot of messages about that. People saying, man, it was kind of cool because I stepped outside of just, well, reviewing gear and talking podcasting. And it was all about how to handle the attitude of a podcast. And a lot of people said, man, that really helped me, because we all kind of struggle with where we are, where we want to be. And I had a lot of people said, thank you so much. That helped me refocused on what I wanted to be. So RD says, hey, I've been doing this for a long time, but it seems, he says, I know you've been doing this for a long time, but it seems you never run out of great content. Thank you. I appreciate that. He says, I always learn something new. Today's show made me realize I need to stick with my original focus on my podcast, Philosophy Walk, and do what I do best instead of worrying about what somebody else is doing. Great reminder. So there you go. But he did ask a great question. My question is regarding music. In today's episode, you dropped a few bars of the Beatles. Yes, I did. I was always of the mind to stay away from commercial music so as to not have to worry about copyright law. Does a few seconds of music fall under fair use as in today's episode? What are your thoughts on that? Well, to be honest with you, last week's episode, I mentioned about how, again, if you focus on your competition, and your competition is doing what appears to be better than you are, it can get you really down. One of my favorite Beatles songs is called, I think it's just called I'm Down. And so I played like the chorus of it. And to the best of my knowledge, that was 100% illegal. Yeah, pretty much, don't do that. I did that because I originally went, I'm really down, I'm down. In fact, I think I played me singing it at the end of the show, and I went, you know, I'm just going to throw the Beatles in here. Well, fair use is a very gray area, and I believe it's not even a global thing. Like, I think the U.S. has fair use, but if you actually played somebody from the U.K., maybe you spun some Oasis, right? I think they would still have a legal right to come and smack you about the head and face. So, what's hilarious about this, if you Google, like, legal guide to podcasting, there is a great resource that Colette Vogel and a bunch of other, the Podcasting Legal Guide Rules for the Revolution, Colette Vogel, Mia Garlick, the Berkman Center, a lot of people were involved in this. And the interesting thing is it's written by a bunch of lawyers who say, hey, just for the record, don't quote us on this because it's not a, quote, legally binding kind of situation. So they do have a section on fair use. And as much as I hate reading in a podcast, I'm going to read in a podcast. It says a fair use is copying protected material such as text, sounds, and images for a limited and transformative purpose, like criticizing, commenting, parodying, news reporting, teaching the copyrighted work. So under the U.S. copyright laws, fair use is not an infringement of copyright. So if I said, man, that Beatles song sucks, Maybe it would have been okay. A little criticizing. Judges typically consider four factors that are set forth in the Copywriting Act. These factors are not exclusive, so judges are permitted to consider other facts in addition to these. However, in the vast majority of cases, courts limit their analysis to these factors. Let's get down to the real nitty-gritty. Okay. The purpose of the character you use. This is sometimes called the transformative factor. The nature of the copyrighted work is, an example, is work highly creative fiction warranting broader protection, or is it highly warranting narrower protection? Another thing to keep in mind, the amount of substantiality of the portion taken as compared both to the underlying work and the work in which the copying is used. And the last but not least, the effect of the use upon the potential market. In other words, did the copyrighted work lose market share because somebody put it in their podcast? So in addition, some commentators refer to the fifth fair use factor, which hinges on good faith. Whether your conduct might be considered morally offensive, judges and juries are human and their decisions can be swayed whether or not they think you are a good or bad actor. So here are two misconceptions about fair use. Number one, acknowledgement is not enough. Some authors have erroneous belief that an acknowledgement will immunize a copyright infringement as fair use. That's a myth. Including an acknowledgement may be considered in the analyzing the four statutory factors that I just mentioned, but is by no means a clear defense to claim of infringement. The other misconception is disclaimers are not enough either. Another point of confusion is whether an upfront disclaimer that denies any association between the podcast and the copyrighted material can protect the podcaster from liability. So, for example, assume your podcast is a parody of the television show The OC. You include a disclaimer at the beginning of your podcast in which you state, "This podcast is not associated with or endorsed by Fox Television." This sort of disclaimer will not, by itself, protect you from a claim of copyright infringement or act as a clear defense to such a claim. It will, however, be considered among the factors the court considers, and in a very close case, a court may look positively on a clear statement of disassociation. Now note, that including a clear disclaimer can help with potential trademark infringement situations. So it says, here are some examples of fair use that may apply in podcasting. So example one, a book group organized by a high school teacher podcasts its meetings discussing J.D. Salinger's Catcher in the Rye. The members discuss the book, read short portions of it out loud, and criticize and comment on the author's style and storylines and the like. Did I mention that the Beatles are awful? Man, what kind of key was that in? The podcast is posted on the book's group blog site, which is hosted by the high school. The site includes no advertising and generates no revenue. Conclusion? This would likely be fair use. All right. So number one, don't make any money. And everybody now is a school. Welcome to the school of podcasting. All right. Example two, a podcaster uses the copyrighted music of pianist George Winston for the intros and outros of her podcast that is about yoga and meditation. The podcast has nothing to do with commenting or critiquing the music being played. Conclusion? Want to guess on this one? Yeah, this is likely not a fair use case. That's just you using somebody's music. All right, example three. A 10-minute podcast includes a group of music fans discussing a recent copyright article in Rolling Stone magazine about a new band. Now, one fan reads paragraph four of the 6-paragraph article and comments on its analysis of the band. Another fan plays a 1-minute segment of the band's copyrighted song, which is 2 minutes in length. So again, we got one paragraph out of six, or 4 paragraphs out of six, and 1 minute out of two. The fan then discusses the music as it compares to other music in the genre. The fans post the podcast on a fab website where advertising is sold, and the fans receive revenue for their podcast. Conclusion? The commentary criticism by the fans in response to the article and song suggests a fair use, but the commercial profit aspect of the site where the podcast is being distributed raises concern, as does the amount of the article and song taken in comparison to the overall length. Any negative effect on Rolling Stone's magazine's market or the band's market for its music could cut against the fair use argument as well. Though the podcasters might argue that the podcast promotes Rolling Stone magazine and the article and the band's song, and that it's not a replacement for either. Now, of course, this would likely be costly and difficult to prove in a trial setting. So given the flexible application of the fair use doctrine and that the burden lies on the podcaster to prove fair use, podcasters in this situation could be found, for lack of a better phrase, guilty. So, yeah, that was dumb of me. And like I said, I can't believe they used that chord progression. I would have used something different. I would have gone back. Why is there no bridge? There's no bridge in the song I'm Down. Let's bring the party to a halt. I do a podcast called Building a Better Dave. It's just me talking about things that happen in my life from time to time. I try to make you laugh, cry, think, or groan. And last week, I was trying to make you cry. And here is a clip of that show. And so I could see out of the corner of my eye her thumb on the syringe, and I could see the syringe moving in. So I knew what was going on. And I just looked in his eyes, and I kept petting his head. And he just kind of looked at me. And I'm going to say 10 seconds. You know, she says, okay, the worst is over. And we're just sitting here petting him. And I notice his head is getting really heavy. And she said, you'll probably be feeling something. I said, his head is getting really heavy because he wasn't holding it up anymore. I was. And she said, yeah, you might want to gently let him down on the table. And so I do. And he's just not moving. His eyes are still open, but the lights are on, but nobody's home. And she said, well, hold on, let me test. And she puts her stethoscope on and listens and goes, yeah, there's no heartbeat. He's gone. And it was weird because if your dog doesn't move much when he's alive and then he dies, not a whole lot of change. There you go. Hey, there's a party starter, huh? Yeah. Want to thank, first of all, I got to dedicate this to Daniel J. Lewis of the Audacity to Podcast. Every time he talks about podcasts and what people do wrong, he always goes, yeah, and then they're going to talk about his dog. So I'd like to say, Daniel, I'm going to talk about my dog. This has nothing to do with podcasting. That's why I put it at the end of the show here. And I just want to say, I had announced on Twitter that I had put my dog, who I'd had for 14 years, almost 15, to sleep. He was my little buddy. And I know members of the school of podcasting on occasion, he would appear on our webinars and things of that nature. And he was my buddy. It's very weird as I sit in my office to look over at his empty bed and I need to clean that stuff up. It's depressing. And when I roll out my chair, I still look to make sure I don't roll over him. But thanks to everyone who chimed in on Facebook and on Twitter and emails and things like that. Not a big deal to you. It was a big deal to me. And it was great to have that community come out and say, hey, I've been there, done that, and deeply appreciate it. So there you go. We'll end on a we'll end on a high note. Have you ever heard that thing from Casey Kasem about, we're in a dog death dedication? Right. I'm Casey Kasem. So thanks so much for tuning in. If you're ready to start a podcast, maybe you want to do a podcast dedicated to your dog. There's a couple different ways you can do it, and I will help you in every aspect. I've done them all this morning. It's been great fun. I started off the day with a coaching call, one-on-one consulting. Got done just in time to do some live call with my buddy Jim Collison. Again, you can find that over at schoolofpodcasting.com/live, and we do that every Saturday. And then, of course, you can do step-by-step tutorials. Just sign up at theschoolofpodcasting.com. And then once I was done with a live phone call, we went right into group coaching. Now, we've got some seats left. This is starting in September, so you got to hurry up. It's right around the corner. And go over to howtopodcast.com and sign up. And here's what you get, okay? Just for the record, 6 weeks, you will have a podcast. It's kind of cool because I just got done with week five where I answered so many questions about iTunes today. It was awesome because they're all like, man, I didn't get that. I thought it was completely different. And I could just hear the light bulbs going on. It was awesome. And so they're all recording interviews now. They're getting their artwork ready. It's going to be very, very cool. And the idea is at the end of 6 weeks, you should be pretty much ready to do a podcast. Now, if you're not at the end of 6 weeks, that's fine. Because one of the things you're going to get in week three, I give you a free month to the School of Podcasting. So when it comes time to learn how to record, you've got videos. You've got videos to walk you through that whole thing, along with any questions you have from those videos. You can then ask me live every Saturday morning. It's awesome. So if you're looking for something a little faster than self-paced, although self-paced, you could go through a whole weekend, really. That could actually be faster, depending on what you want. But if you want a little more hand-holding, I hate that phrase, it sounds so weird, but if you want a little more live interaction, we've got that. And if you want the quickest way, just get on Skype with me, get on the phone with me, we'll do one-on-one consulting, and I will answer any questions you have and go right there. But do appreciate you tuning in. And everything we find today, you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/371. If you want to email me, it's dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. You can call in your comments. It's toll-free, 888-563-3228. That's courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com. You can also leave a comment out at the website, which is schoolofpodcasting.com, and you'll also see a button there for voicemail. So if you have some sort of microphone plugged in, or if you're on an iPad or whatever, you can leave a voicemail that way. Would love to hear from you. Would love to hear what you would like to hear on the show. Got some great suggestions today from the folks on the group coaching call. And in the future, you're going to hear, I got a interview in the can about somebody who started podcasting in 2004 and the whole behind the scenes of the Dixie Cup sponsorship six-figure deal. That's going to be a cool one. I'm in the process of editing that down a little bit, but that'll be coming up in the future. And anything else you would love to hear, I'm serious. Call me, 888-563-3228. If you also, out at the website, if you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/iHeart, H-E-A-R-T, that will take you right to the Saturday morning live show. That you can now hear on iHeartRadio. You can actually hear old episodes of that. And I need to figure out that when I'm doing that live, if it's live there. But if you use iHeartRadio, the Ask the Podcast Coach is what we're calling that on Saturdays. You can find that on iHeartRadio. Just go to schoolofpodcasting.com/iHeart. And if you just can't get enough Dave and you're looking for kind of the newbie questions, go over to schoolofpodcasting.fm. That's schoolofpodcasting.fm. Got enough choices? Again, you're like, man, I'm never going to remember all that. There are a couple ways to remember this. And I always forget to mention this. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/newsletter, you can sign up for our newsletter. And one of the things we do is we send you the show notes directly to your email when a new show comes out. Because sometimes you're listening to this in the car, you're listening to it on a treadmill, and you're like, you know, I need to go to the website. Well, sign up for our newsletter and our website comes to you automatically. So you can do that as well. So thank you so much for tuning in. Let me remind you, it is time to start living a life worth podcasting about. And I hope to see you on the inside. Until next week, class dismissed. God bless.